The Old Testament reading from the first Sunday in Lent is from Deuteronomy chapter 26. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in the office at the same time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into that land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid us on hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 10. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the angel had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Well, we've hit the 40 days of Lent, 40 days until the greatest holiday of the church year or in the secular calendar, that of course being Easter. But it's 40 days of Lent, and we don't count Sundays. Today we commemorate Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. It's a time that we reflect and are introspective. Lent is a season where many people give up food. Well, Jesus gave up food for 40 days in the wilderness. I'm glad we don't have to give up food for 40 days now. One thing that's always struck me about the Lenten season is Fat Tuesday. Think about that one for a second. Lent is time of introspection, self-reflection, looking in the mirror, seeing who we really are. But on Fat Tuesday, you can overindulge, drink as much as you want, eat as much as you want, or whatever you want, just as long as you knock it off by midnight. I guess it only makes sense if you're from New Orleans. I heard Mobile, Alabama has a big festival as well. Luke, when he wrote his Gospels, the previous account is the account of Jesus' baptism. The next account is the story of his temptation. His baptism was the beginning of his public ministry. His temptation in the desert was 30 years now of private life is over, but the wilderness time is the first event in his public ministry. Three of the Gospels give an account of his temptation. Mark, of course, has the shortest one. And Mark has a unique wording. It says the Holy Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. Luke uses a softer term, was led. Mark also mentions the wild beasts that were in the wilderness. Now, the accounts of Matthew and Luke are quite similar. The order of the temptations is different. And I'll let church officials try to figure out that one, why they recorded them in a different order. The gospel writers probably had a reason, but I don't know what it was. But Luke said he was led into the wilderness and that he was without food for 40 days. 40. It reminds us of the 40 years that the Israelites were in the wilderness. There they were tempted in every way, but they failed. They even accused God of trying to kill them. You brought us out into this wilderness so that we can die of thirst and die of hunger. And repeatedly, God punishes them for their unbelief. God especially got angry when the 12 spies went into the promised land, and 10 of them came back. Oh, they're too big. They're too numerous. Their city walls go up to the sky. We can't do anything about it. Well, that might have been true. We can't, but God certainly could. Only Joshua and Caleb, two of the spies, came back and said, in essence, let's do it. God's with us. That was the 40 years of wilderness wandering. At Jesus' baptism, he placed himself under the law. And he would live the life that Israel could not and the life that we cannot. He was in the wilderness for 40 days instead of 40 years. And by the end of 40 days, he had to be utterly craving food. And if you go that many days without food, you're extremely weak. That is when Satan comes to tempt him, when he's at his weakest. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, we are told that Jesus is tempted in every way that we are. And as I said, the devil comes at Jesus when he's at his weakest. And he uses the word if you are the Son of God. Always note that when Satan tempts, he asks questions. That's how he tempts us. If you are the Son of God, you can turn these stones into bread. Of course, Jesus was aware of his divine nature. And with a single word, he could have commanded the stones to become bread or any other type of food he wanted. But he answered Satan, "Not by bread alone shall man live." And then Matthew adds the words, "But by every word," excuse me, "but by every word of God," makes things a little clearer. Back in the wilderness wanderings with Israel, they had doubted whether God could feed them. They should have trusted God for food. After 10 plagues, crossing the Red Sea, being brought into the wilderness, why doubt God at this point that he can provide for them? But Jesus says, "Not by bread alone shall man live, but by every word that proceeds from God." The second temptation is that he's showing all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. Wow. Now, we don't know what time period Jesus saw the kingdoms, but I like to think that he saw all the kingdoms of the past before him, during his earthly life, and even till now, and what will come in the future. I like to think he got to see all those kingdoms, nations, and empires. And then Satan says, "To you I will give authority over all of them and their glory of them." And then he adds, "To me they have been delivered, and to whoever I will give it. All you have to do is worship me, and they shall be yours." Satan tells a few big lies in that temptation. First of all, it's not his to give. Psalm 24, verse 1 tells us, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Jesus could have reminded Satan of Psalm 24, but Jesus responds, "It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and to him alone shall you offer sacred service." Jesus quotes Scripture. Jesus uses the same tools that we humans have. He had his divine power that he could have commanded the stones to become bread. He could have, with the temptation of all the kingdoms of the world, done something else spectacular. But instead, he used the tools that we have when Satan tempts us, and that being the Word of God. We have to rely on the sources that God gives us. God is the only one to be worshipped, not creation. Now the third temptation, that's the sneakiest of them all. He leads him to the top of the temple. The sneaky part of it is Satan quotes Scripture. Satan knows Scripture by heart. And that's what he's basically saying, "Okay, Jesus, you're going to quote Scripture to me? I'm going to quote it right back to you." He tells him to jump down, and then he quotes, "The Lord will guard you with his angels, lest you dash your foot against the stone." The temptation is live life dangerously and carelessly. Because after all, God will protect you. Today, I can't help but think of snake handlers. Because it says in the Bible that you can trample on the cobra and it won't bite you, they think they can hold snakes. That's tempting God. I can live carelessly by doing this because God will protect me. Or the quote Scripture, "God loves." Well, therefore, that means I don't need to go to church. I don't need the sacrament. I can show up at Christmas and Easter because God loves me. He accepts me the way I am. And I don't have to do anything as far as in response to what he's done for us. By jumping off the temple, it would have been a way that Jesus could have shown he was the Messiah. But that's not the type of Messiah he was. For him to be declared Messiah, it had to include the suffering and the death on his cross. Satan wanted Jesus to see his kingdom in earthly terms. And Jesus responds, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Israel tempted God. We tempt God. At the end of the temptations, Luke records, the devil left for a more convenient time. Jesus defeated him in the temptations. Where Israel could not and where we could not, Jesus resists the temptations. But notice, Satan doesn't leave. Going back to the Gospel of Mark, there's an awful lot of Jesus' miracles that involves the casting out of demons. Satan himself makes a reappearance in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is tempted not to walk the path that the Father has chosen. The temptation is just walk away. Jesus was so weak at this point that he was sweating water mixed with blood. But he drank the cup of the Father's wrath. He suffered and died, for which we should be truly thankful for. We don't handle temptation any better than Israel did. We grumble and we complain that God has done this or hasn't done this. We're not educated in the scriptures the way we should be. We can't quote scripture or even retell certain biblical accounts to silence Satan. But we're thankful Jesus made all the right choices, that he suffered in our place. He relived the life of Israel, and he lived the life that we could not live, and he passed. Thinking of what Jesus has done for us and believing that he did all these things for us is what should occupy our minds during the season of Lent. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.